First Chronicles chapter 28 is our second reading this service, our Old Testament reading. First Chronicles 28, verse 1, hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And David assembled all the princes of Israel, the princes of the tribes, and the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, and the captains over the thousands, and captains over the hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king and of his sons, with the officers and with the mighty men and with all the valiant men unto Jerusalem. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, hear me, my brethren, and my people. As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. Howbeit, the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever, for he hath chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father, he liked me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord hath given me many sons, he hath chosen Solomon my son to sit upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. And he said unto me, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. Now therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance for your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat, and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit, of the courts of the house of the Lord, and of all the chambers round about, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. And also for the courses of the priests and the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the vessels of the service in the house of the Lord. He gave of gold by weight for the things of gold, for all instruments of all manner of service, silver also for all instruments of silver by weight, for all instruments of every kind of service. Even the weight for the candlesticks of gold, and for their lamps of gold, by weight for every candlestick, and for the lamps thereof, and for the candlesticks of silver by weight, both for the candlestick and also for the lamps thereof, according to the use of every candlestick. And by weight he gave gold for the tables of showbread, for every table, and likewise silver for the tables of silver. Also pure gold for the flesh hooks, and the bowls, and the cups, and for the golden basins he gave gold by weight for every basin, and likewise silver by weight for every basin of silver. And for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight, and gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubim that spread out their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage, do it, fear not nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And behold, the courses of the priests and Levites, even they shall be with thee for all the service of the house of God. And there shall be with thee for all manner of workmanship, every willing, skillful man for any manner of service. Also the princes and all the people will be holy at thy commandment. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. The chapter has a particular compass to it, doesn't it? So in the beginning then, we have David, who, and he assembles, notice, the princes of Israel, of the tribes, of the captains of the companies that ministered to the king by course, the captains of thousands, hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possession of the king, and all his sons with the officers, with the mighty men, the valiant men, unto Jerusalem. These are the men that we talked about in the last chapter. Those guys were laid out in that chapter. Now David assembles them all. And assembling them all, he gives them a charge. And the charge is that they would give their ear and their effort to his son Solomon as he goes to build the temple that the Lord has placed upon his heart. So, the first thing is, David will tell them, I was going to build the house, but the Lord said no, because I'm a man of blood, I'm a man of war, I'm a man that shed blood. And that is not... That's not going to be the kind of man that builds the Lord's house. He will be a man of peace. His name, Solomon, is related to that Hebrew word, shalom. You can hear that relationship. He must be a man of peace because the antitype, Christ, is the Prince of Peace. And yes, Christ will do battle, and yes, Christ will be victorious. But notice when we see Christ being victorious is not when he builds his church, but when he finishes it. Right? Revelation 19, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, he that sat upon it was called Faithful and True. In righteousness he doth judge and make war. Right? So he has a crown on his head. He has all of these things. His vesture is dipped in blood, the blood of his enemies. Right? And he has a two-edged sword that goes out of his mouth, and so on. That's Christ our conqueror. But Christ is a man of peace. He is called the Prince of Peace because he makes peace between us and God, between us and heaven. All right, so God said to me, thou shalt not build an house for my name because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. It's a very interesting thing that David does now. David will say, I can't build the house, but God chose me. And I don't think this is a statement of hubris on David's part. I think it's a statement of grace on David's part. Although I'm a man of blood, God chose me above all of those in my father's house. He chose the line of Judah. And let's remember that David was the 10th generation from Perez. That is the first of his kind for 10 generations that could actually enter into commune with God. And so the Lord chose me, David said. And notice he didn't choose me, but he chose my son Solomon to build that house. He is talking about God's sovereign election as to who will be the one who will receive the pattern of the house and who will build the house. This is a humble statement on the part of David. It's not a statement of hubris or pride. All right, so then he will say to these chiefs and elders in Israel that you will support Solomon. When he sits on the throne, he will reign over Israel, and you will help him in this work that he is to do to build the temple of the Lord. It is about Solomon that God has prophesied. The Lord has prophesied to us. His kingdom will go on forever. It is an eternal kingdom. That is because it is the kingdom of Christ. It is in that way eternal. No, the earthly Solomon did not have an eternal kingdom. But the antitype of Solomon did, our Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom will be forever and ever. So then, David's last charge to the elders is to do what? To keep the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land. All right, so now he turns to Solomon, and he has a charge for Solomon. You get the flavor, the feeling that we're coming up to the end of David's life, right? Of course, this same charge in its the way it's related in 2 Samuel has all the palace intrigue. You'll remember about the rival to Solomon and Nathan coming in with Bathsheba into the king's chambers and all that. Notice none of that is here. None of that is here. Because this is the story not of the kingdom. It is the story of what? It's the story of the worship of God and of the temple of God and how we get there and how it's built and how it's put into service. That's what the story is about. And this in encouragement to the people of God as they come back from their Babylonian exile to build that temple again. All right, so now he turns to Solomon and he says, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. I would be remiss as a pastor if I didn't pull up for a moment and say to every child in this congregation, know thou the God of thy father. Know thou the God of thy mother. As we've said before, we say again, there's no such thing as entering into heaven as grandchildren of believers in that their faith counts for you, children. You must believe in Jesus Christ yourselves. You must call upon his name. You must cast yourself upon his mercy. You must give yourself to him as living sacrifices. And recognizing that in that giving, it is him giving to you instead. It is all of his grace. So we don't make it into heaven because our parents were Christians, children. So remember that as you move forward. Okay, so know the God of thy father. This is what David tells Solomon, his son. And serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts, and so on. So there is a very solemn charge given to Solomon there. Verses 11 through the end of the chapter then, through 21, twice tell us that David had this pattern by the Spirit. This was something that God pressed to his soul, to his understanding. David didn't sit down one day and said, I'm going to try my hand at architecture. What do I want to design? I don't know. What do I want to design? How about a temple to worship the Lord in? I mean, I'm a devout guy. I'd really like the Lord's temple to be ornate. No, he didn't do any of that. The Lord pressed that to him from heaven. He pressed it to his psyche, his conscience, his soul. And then he reproduced that for Solomon. And I'll just say to you what I've said before, because it's evident in this passage. Was there detail or no detail? Pretty obvious. To ask the question is to answer it. Every vessel has a particular weight of gold that it's supposed to carry when it's built. Right? Every vessel, every particular artifact in that temple complex will have a particular use, and it will be designed in a particular way by the hand of God weighing upon David. What did he say? And the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit, the courts of the house of the Lord, the chambers round about, the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the dedicated things, the courses for the priests, the Levites, for the work of the service of the house of the Lord, for all the vessels of service in the house of the Lord. So in that first section, that's sort of a summary section. Every room in the temple, every wall in the temple, the structure of it, then all of the service of the temple. It was all by God given to David. And then the vessels. And we go on to talk about the vessels then in verses 14 through the end of the passage. And that's where we see that every vessel had a particular weight that was attached to it, or that was by which it was to be built, whether it was of gold or of silver and so on. And then secondly, we read again in verse 19, all this said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. So twice in this passage we hear that the worship of God is not left to the whim of men, or as we said earlier, to the will worship of men. It's left to the command of God. And then finally, we have David's final charge to Solomon: be strong and of good courage and do it, for God will be with you. You will also have helpers. You will have Levites and skillful men and the princes and the people. Everybody's behind you, Solomon. Don't delay to do this project that the Lord has pressed upon me to give to you. And that's how the chapter ends. Let's stand and